Well, hello, friends. This must be my morning. I've had a couple of truncations. I left the computer for a little while, and then 141A simply stopped working. That's the first time this has ever happened in this way, when I've had two computers running at the same time. So I've had to, that's a 45-minute program, and I think it's long enough to be worthwhile. I'm beginning here with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 142A, page 584. And we were in the middle here of talking about the will and its contrast with desire. Desire works from and through the material form upwards. Will works downward into form. Bending, and I said, well, that's a Vulcanian word. Bending form consciously to divine purpose. The metal heats up and the pressure is applied. And there is oftentimes a heating up which we experience with certain fiery energies, and then the soul applies its pressure to the personality and brings it into condition more like the archetype which it is to approximate. That whole idea of approximating the archetype is so very important. The one is invocative, that's desire, and the other is evocative. When the will is active, it is able to summon the higher energies. Desire summon them, actually, evoke them directly. The invocation has to wait for the evocation. Apparently, the use of the will brings in the evocation automatically. Desire, when masked and focused, can invoke will. And this is a customary way of working the will up. It's a bit like, you know, what can I say? Let me make very sure. Working the will up from below, as it were. The will up from below. The evocation to intensify desire is the will. Will, when evoked and inaction, ends desire and becomes an immanent, propulsive, driving force, stabilizing, excuse me, clarifying, and among other things, finally destroying. It is needed at this time strongly in order to bring about the possibilities which are imminent for us. We need to drive forward out of identification with matter. We need to be stabilized in our approach. We need to clarify the lines of demarcation between good and evil so that the choice under Libra, which is now so strong in the planetary horoscope, is clear to everybody or to most. And among other things, there is a final destruction of obstacles. The negative forces are called the forces of obstruction, and we need to destroy the obstructions. Okay. So, we are now then continuing, and hopefully this business of truncation is over. I like to produce for you hour-long programs, but sometimes I run over a bit myself. And sometimes circumstances which I cannot control cut the program a little bit short. And that's happened already twice this morning. Once 10 minutes, once 15 minutes. But okay, it's the content that counts. So, but will is much more than this. But this is all that man can grasp at this time, and all for which he has as yet the mechanism of comprehension. We don't suspect how little we actually can comprehend by what is normal and natural and always seen. We judge it to be the whole. We judge everything by our own limitations, is what I'm trying to say. So we judge the extent, we judge the possible extent of our acquisition of knowledge by our own ring pass knot or limitations. And that is always a mistake, but we don't know any better because what is outside our ring pass knot of perception is outside, and we have no idea what it is, as sometimes DK tells us, is really, as far as we are concerned, unimaginable. It is this will aroused by invocation which must be focused in the light of the soul. The soul consciousness must accompany it. Okay. Oh, that's self-consciousness. So soul consciousness must accompany it. It must be focused in the light of the soul and dedicated to the purposes of light and for the purpose of establishing right human relations, which must be used in love to destroy all that is hindering the free flow of human life and is bringing death, spiritual and real, to humanity. So we must encourage the positive Aquarian flow, which is dammed back and sidetracked and made to support certain areas of excess while other areas languish. The will must be invoked. We must consciously call for it, and we must await that response, which is the evocation. The whole New World religion is about invocation and evocation, and then, of course, once something is evoked, we have to learn how to use it. And that is, because you can say, well, what can I do about an evocation? It will answer when it will. Well, it will answer when it will, but once it answers, there it is, and it's how to use it. So, we must learn how to utilize that which is evoked. The will is there, but in the case of the selfish ones, they focused it in their selfish personality for selfish ends and for the glorification of the lower self. This is not what we need. The soul is group conscious. The light of the soul reveals the way in which group consciousness can be promoted, and our will must further this promotion of group consciousness, group unification, cooperative action. It's all easy to talk about, but when it comes to actually doing it, so many human beings have a difficult time of it. All right, moving on. I am not referring to the use of either of the two great invocations, two invocations, or to the third, which has lately been given. Well, well, well. That was given in 1945. So this part of the book may have been written in 1945, because 1945, which saw the end of the war. So just because certain sections of the book are in the same book doesn't mean that they were all written at the same time, according to the way that the Tibetan was writing these things in installments. I refer to the focused consciousness of men and women of goodwill, whose lives are conditioned by the will to carry forward the purposes of God in love. Their lives are conditioned by the will to carry forward the purposes of God in love, who seek selflessly to understand those purposes, and who are fearless of death. Three qualifications for those who are using the will. Three qualifications. That's qualities. Okay, Q-U-S. How about that? I always hope that I've made some abbreviation. The will be aroused. It will be dedicated to the purposes of light. It's focused in the light of the soul. That's one way of invoking Leo, isn't it? Leo representing the light of the soul. The second level of Leo representing the consciousness of soul. Leo being a sign of will and of great light, and focusing the will in that part of the nature which corresponds to the higher Leo. And it will establish right human relations and will destroy all that is hindering. This will must be invoked and evoked, And he's not talking specifically about using the invocations to do that, although it could help. We're referring to how the consciousness, focused consciousness of men and women of goodwill must invoke and evoke the will. So he's referring to their consciousness, whose lives are conditioned by the will to carry forward the purposes of God in love, who seek selflessly to understand those purposes and who are fearless in death. So what are the three qualities? Carrying forward the purposes of God, understanding those purposes, and fearlessness of death, as it will usually come to the person in some way as an evoked response from the lower forces when that person is attempting to implement the will to good. Sometime, somehow, the opposition will be there. All right. There are two great handicaps to the free expression of the Shambhala force in its true nature. Well, in its truest nature, we find that the Christ expressed it, but we are learning. One is sensitivity of the lower nature to its impact and its consequent prostitution to selfish ends, as in the case of the sensitive negative German people and its use by the Axis nation for material objectives. So we have here, this is one handicap, that in fact it may affect the personality more than the consciousness, and its energy may be wrongly used, prostituted to the selfishness of the personality. And the second problem or handicap, the second is the blocking, hindering, muddled but masked opposition of the well-meaning people of the world who talk vaguely and beautifully about love but refuse to consider the techniques of the will of God in operation. So this is blocking by emotional idealism. You know, it's very interesting, but in the next solar system, we're told that the black forces, which will still exist, will use the second aspect, the energy of love, to oppose the expression of the will. Now, intelligent selfishness is used to oppose the expression of love. Then it will be something quite different. So the unthinking idealists, who are emotionally polarized and have no clear thought on the matter, refuse to consider the techniques of the will of God. Why? Why refuse? Well, it's pretty clear. Because the form is often threatened by the will of God, and they are attached to that form. According to them, that will is something with which they personally have naught to do. You know, as I said, light and love in so many letters, but not light, love, and power. They refuse to recognize that God works out his will through men, just as he is ever seeking to express his love through men. So it's a blindness to the first aspect, isn't it? They will not believe that will could possibly express itself through the destruction of evil with all the material consequences of that evil. In other words, will, they don't have an appreciation for the spiritual value of destruction. No appreciation for the spiritual value of destruction. Okay, and we find that operating today in some sort of refusal to look at really threatening trends, considering in our multicultural bias that all ways, all cultural ways are equally good, and really, from the divine perspective, they are not. They cannot believe that a God of love could possibly employ the first divine aspect to destroy the forms which are obstructing the free play of the divine spirit. So much education about the necessity of shambolic destruction, destructiveness is needed. Remember, purification, destruction, and organization. Somehow that will must not infringe upon their interpretation of love, and that interpretation is the love of the form. Such people are individually of small moment and of no importance, but their massed negativity was a real detriment to the ending of this war, probably resisting the use of the bomb and maybe of the great and necessary invasion. I'm thinking of D-Day, not Disciple, oh, Disciple Day, okay, D-Day. Just as the mass negativity of the German people and their inability to take right action when Hitler's purposes were disclosed made possible the great inflow of ancient and focused evil which has brought the present catastrophe to man. So negativity, inertia, let's see, Tamasic negativity is a great obstacle to the inflow of the true divine will. Such people are like a millstone around the neck of humanity, crippling true effort, murmuring, "Let us love God and each other," but doing nothing but murmuring prayers and platitudes whilst humanity is dying. And there is a potent statement, and one which those upon the first ray will seize, I think. I remember a first ray man talking about people just sitting there meditating while the at the edge of the water while the tsunami was on its way. Something to that effect. The same idea. Doing nothing but murmuring prayers and platitudes whilst humanity is dying. So action needed in accordance with the spiritual will, which can be destructive of negative forms and energy patterns. You can easily appreciate the fact that the evocation of the energy of the will and its effect upon the unprepared, materialistically minded person might and would prove a disaster, because they would be ruled by desire, which would be strengthened, and ruled by generally, let's call it, low desire, which would be strengthened. Of course, one can appreciate that, and that's why there is such caution in the release of the will. Shambhala has certain well-calibrated impacts at certain times. It would simply serve to focus and strengthen the lower self-will, which is the name we give to realized, determined desire. So self-will is really an aspect of desire. This is what we have to understand. Self-will. Is really an aspect of desire. It could then create such a driving force directed to selfish ends that the person might become a monster of wickedness. The evocation of the energy of the will upon the unprepared materialistic would prove a disaster. I think, you know, this is what happened to Hitler, I think. He had the means of invoking that will, I think, as a first-ray soul. A monster of wickedness, and we're told that a Scorpio in the undeveloped type creates the monster. Scorpio plus the will. In the history of the race, one or two advanced personalities have done this with dire results, both to themselves and to the people of their time. One such figure in ancient times was Nero, and the other was Hitler. I'm recalling a very strong fire sign emphasis in the proposed chart of Nero. I do believe Pluto was prominent. The other is Hitler. I think, you know, looking it might be a little diversion, but might be interesting just to see. We don't have it here, but famous and cleaner. And we have Nero. Apparently a Sagittarius with Pluto on the ascendant. Sun conjunct Pluto, therefore the great death that he wielded, especially towards Christians. He has that inflated Leo moon. He had a lot of fourth ray too, and Mars, Sun, and Pluto. There's murder there in that. And this is 7:30 a.m. local mean time. Of course, we have no way of confirming this, but certainly the unrealistic ideals are there. The sixth ray and the first ray in combination, and an inflated sense of grandeur, and a moon opposite Neptune, which gives glamorous ideas about the worth of the self. And I've oftentimes seen a Jupiter and Scorpio big death, and there's a T-square. There's a T-square of Jupiter, the moon, and Neptune. Inflation in every respect. Finally, he met an end which was enforced by more realistic forces. Some people have tried to look at Nero and say, well, he really wasn't as bad as they say he was, but he had, I think, this combination. Well, he certainly had the fourth ray, and maybe the first ray as well, a dramatic type of self-pity, which Hitler also had, a dramatic type of self-pity, and a flamboyancy that we see in that Leo moon, and with the sun rising in Sagittarius, in the Leo decanate on top of it, huh? And everything there in the Leo decanate of Sagittarius. That is, it's the final decanate, and it is ruled by the sun. I guess it can be used positively or negatively. And the Mercury in Sagittarius, again, inspired by crazy thoughts, which had no connection with the welfare of his country. So one such figure was Nero. Ancient times was Nero. The modern example is Hitler. You kind of wonder whether there was some connection between them. What, however, has made the latter so dangerous an enemy of the human family is that during the last 2,000 years, man has advanced to a point where it can be also be responsive to certain aspects of the first ray force. So humanity was also responsive. Was also responsive to the first ray force. So Hitler therefore found associates and cooperators who added their receptivity to his, so that an entire group became responsive to the responsive agents of the destructive energy, the negative Shambhala energy, expressing itself in its lowest aspect, the lowest aspect of the will. The lowest aspect of the will. One way to describe this in psychological term is the will to self-aggrandizement, megalomania, and certainly Hitler had that. This is what enabled them to work ruthlessly, powerfully, selfishly, cruelly, and successfully at the destruction of all that attempted to impede their projects and desires. So it was a low level of personal identification plus a very focused, negatively received shambolic will, the lowest aspect of it, the materialistic aspect of the will, we might say. And this is where he talks interestingly about the death of a Master Jesus. Let's see. Where is that? Oh, and of course, it's not going to be there. Here it is. And this is the place which is found. Here he's talking about Shambhala is something very different. The destructive energy emanating from the bright center, Shambhala, is something very different. There is an inherent destructive energy in matter itself, and an energy of very great potency. It is with this energy that the Axis powers are working. The destructive energy emanating from the bright center Shambhala is something very different, and I would ask you to remember this. The destroying power of spirit is not the same as that of matter. A human being can destroy his own form and again through the evil which he does and by the material form focused of his desire. The following of a life of vice will breed disease, as is well known. The disciple can also destroy his form through selfless service and devotion to a cause. In both cases, the form is destroyed, but the motivating impulse is different, and the energy of destruction comes from a different source. The death of a Master Jesus or of a Father Damien and the death of a Hitler or of a murderer are not the results of the same essential energy. So this inherent destructive energy in matter itself, I think, is the lowest aspect of the Shambhala force. And through service, through sacrifice, one can also destroy the form. That is not what Hitler did. So let us, I'm going to do this here. This is the Rays and Initiations, I believe. Yes, page 87 and 88. So let's do as we usually do. And he's talking about how ruthlessly this group, all of whom ended up being destroyed, of course, by the end. None of them survived. The only Nazi related to that group who survived was Rudolf Hess, and for many years he was in a British, a British prison, or was he kept? I think the prison was Spandau, was that it? Anyway, he was a lower level type than the others who had gathered around Hitler to work ruthlessly, powerfully, selfishly, cruelly, and successfully with implacable determination and will. All the things that were said about will, which will is not really. So there was an attack, and because they had a group response to the lower Shambhala force, they were able to be the effective instrument of that attack, at least in the early days. There was something there about Aries, Pluto, Shambhala in the negative sense because of the first race soul of Germany. So let's just say these negative beings responded negatively to Aries, Pluto, Shambhala. And I cited the idea that Aries was very powerful in the soul nature of Germany and misappropriated by its first ray personality. That can always happen. Soul energy can be misappropriated. There is only one way in which focused evil will, with its responsiveness to the Shambhala force, can be overcome, and that is by the opposition of an equally focused spiritual will. So important. There is only one way in which focused evil will, with its responsiveness to the Shambhala force, can be overcome, and that is by the opposition of an equally focused spiritual will. And this it is that we hope can be evoked from the men and women of goodwill today in today's world against the challenges to human progress which are slowly taking form in the same way that during the 1930s the Nazi threat took form. An equally focused spiritual will displayed by responsive men and women of goodwill who can train themselves to be sensitive to this type of new incoming energy and can learn how to invoke it and evoke it. Well, I suppose you evoke by invoking. And when you use the right type of invocation, the evocation is there. And I would say the important point is how to use that which is evoked by the invocation. Well, the duty to cultivate the will to good or spiritual will is now laid upon upon human beings who are more developed. And it's laid upon people like you and like me. You can consequently see why there was more than a casual use of the current word in my mind when the terms of goodwill and the will to good were discussed. These are the decisive energies, are they not, in humanity's progress or retrogression? So these are the decisive energies. All the time I had in my thoughts not just kindness and good intentions, but the focused will to good which can and must evoke the Shambhala energy and use it for the arresting of the forces of evil. See, whether or not there is a direct call or not, there is a direct call to Shambhala expressing the will to good will in itself be a call summoning an evoked response. So we have a lot to learn about the will, and we should not shy away from it. We have to, whatever may be our ray, we have to learn how to handle the first ray force, which is basically non-emotional. I mean, although first ray types may have to be whipped into some emotional state at some point in their development, generally there is a suppression of emotion. Even DK said even a hatred of emotion. Well, it does sometimes get in the way of the intention. We have to learn how to use the will and not imagine that intense desire is that will. That's what we have to do. This, I realize, is a relatively new idea to many of you. To others of you, it will mean little or nothing. Once again, others may have faint glimmerings of this new approach to God and service. A new approach, an approach along an unused aspect of divinity, an approach against an approach utilizing a widely unused aspect of divinity, which again I say can and must remake, rebuild, and rehabilitate the world. Can and must remake, rebuild, and rehabilitate the world. You can see again how London, with its Vulcanian first ray on the constructive side of that ray, would be so important in this process. You know, England is the builder in many ways. It has the Taurus, Great Britain does, the Taurus personality and the constructive use of the first ray and of Vulcan. So helping to rebuild the world, this particular planetary center, expressing the first ray in that manner will be of importance. It also has a strong seventh ray in the personality, which is another building ray. I would like you to point out that the will aspect can be contacted only from the mental plane. But intensified desire can invoke the will, we have been told. But in terms of contacting the real will and not trying to work it up from below, contacted only by the mental plane and only those, therefore, who are working with and through the mind can begin to appropriate the energy. Well, you know, there is will along the first aspect or bringing in the first ray, and there is mind under the fifth aspect or the, second attribute of divinity, but the five having a very close association with the one, being in a sense, just like the seventh ray is, a lower expression of the one. So we have to work through the mind. We have to think purposefully to invoke this will. We must think purposefully to invoke this energy of will. Those who seek to evoke the Shambhala force are approaching close to the energy of fire, which is a great destroying and purifying agent, and can be too much for the form in which it is evoked. Fire is the symbol and the quality of the mental plane. Fire is an aspect of the divine nature. Fire was the outstanding aspect of the war. Fire as evoked from the mineral kingdom, interestingly enough. So there was the Vulcan connection, maybe a Vulcan-Venus connection for Re 1, Re 5. Fire is produced by physical means and the aid of the mineral kingdom, and this was the great menacing and chosen means of destruction in this war. And who chose? Was it mankind who chose, having gone through the fifth ray, first ray industrial revolution? Did mankind choose? This is a fulfillment of the ancient prophecy that the attempt to destroy the Aryan race will be by means of fire, just as ancient Atlantis was destroyed by water. Are we finished with that attempted destruction? That is the question. Is the attempted destruction complete, really? Could there be a continuation in this attempt to destroy the Aryan, Atlantean, A-R, Aryan race? Right. I am stubborn, and I know there is, for the Aryan race, there it is, A-R. That's simple. To destroy the Aryan race. Could there be a continuation of this attempt to destroy the Aryan race in the future? Is the Armageddon really over? I don't want to be a doomsday sayer, but you can see again that an attack is in process. Just as in ancient Atlantis was destroyed by water, but fiery goodwill and the conscious, focused use of the Shambhala force can counter fire by fire, and this must be done. He uses the word must. And this, I hope we somehow begin to realize, is not open for discussion and compromise. So we have a great arsenal of atomic weapons, some of them in the hands of nations which DK said could not be trusted. As a matter of fact, he said only a very few could be trusted. The United States was listed. I think Britain and France perhaps were listed. We have atomic power now in the hands of those who are very different in their motives and in the elevation of their consciousness than the major Western democracies. So we have a problem. What's to become of these weapons? Will they fall into the hands of religious ideologues? Will the so-called will of God require of them the use of these weapons to destroy those who deviate from the faith, the unfaithful ones, the infidel, and so forth? This is a major problem confronting hierarchy at this time, and as the Christ seeks to use all means to avert a final war, this is the issue that he is facing, at least outwardly. There are probably many psychological issues upon which he can work more effectively than any other being on our planet, at least with the exception of Sanat Kumara and some of the lives which really didn't evolve on our planet at all. I cannot give you more upon this subject until you have given time to its consideration and have sought to understand the use of the will. Well, some of us are attempting to do this, however haltingly, remembering, of course, that the Christ after all of his efforts, one thin strand of will managed to reach humanity. So until you have given time to its consideration and have sought to understand the use of the will, its nature, purpose, and its relation to what you understand by human will. And as I continue to say, what is the state of identification from which that which is called will is wielded? Because when a person knows himself as the soul, the will is one thing. When he knows himself to be the triad of spirit, the will is yet another thing. when he thinks himself in illusory manner to be but the personality, then the will is this state of intensified desire itself, will. It's not real will at all. I think a good definition for self-will was given here. I'm inclined to want to search for that. Right. Let's see if I can come back to that. So it is self-will. But there's 166 selves. So here's self-will, and there is and desire. Self-will and desire. Well, it happened, oh, I see, because I didn't put this in here. Now maybe we'll find it. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Into the 500s we go. Blah, blah, blah. 580. The lower self will. Here it is. It would simply serve to focus the lower self will, which is the name we give to realized and determined desire. I want to somehow copy that and say, in this way, self will is this. Okay. Self-will is defined thusly, which is the name we give to realized and determined desire. All right. And that is coming from page 585. And I think we should put that in the extracts, 585, self-will defined. Okay. And I think we'll do it this way, self-will defined. It doesn't allow you to put in the hyphens. And this is AAB extracts, and here we go. All right. That was relatively quick, relatively painless. So everything depends on the state of identification from which will is wielded. Let's put it like this. The greater the consciousness and the deeper the identification, the higher the nature of the will which can be wielded. So we have to see to our level of identification, I would say. You must ponder on how it should be employed and in what manner aspirants and disciples who are mentally polarized can focus that will and safely shoulder the responsibility for its wise use. Well, that's it. The safety in the use of the will. DK told us that if we contact Shambhala prematurely, the average man will harm himself, damage himself, and the disciple will destroy himself. It will be a more intense appropriation of the will, for which the disciple's vehicles are usually not ready. Later, when you know more about it, I can give you further knowledge upon the matter. Well, this... maybe this will be in the later books or the next installment, perhaps. I would, however, like to make one practical suggestion, and here's where he talks about it. Might there not be organized a group who would take the subject, this subject, as the theme of their meditation, who would try to fit themselves by right understanding to contact and use the Shambhala energy? And I think many people have read this. I don't know to what degree there has been success in organizing such a group. Maybe nothing outstanding in my view, but I'm sure that people have responded to this. Might there not be organized a group who would take this subject, the subject of the will, of the Shambhala energy, as the theme of their meditation, and who would try to fit themselves by right understanding to contact and use the Shambhala energy. In other words, let's just say a group through the right use of the will, of the spiritual will, let us say, could contact and use the Shambhala energy. Well, even the hierarchy, we are told, has to approach Shambhala in its complete membership in order rightly to distribute it, if contacted. Obviously, the manner in which the Shambhala force was contacted would be much more attenuated than contact by the hierarchy. Still, he's offering here an incentive, and as the seventh ray comes into power, the higher correspondence of it, namely the first ray, will probably animate such groups. Would it not be possible gradually to elaborate this theme of the revelation of the divine will so that the general subject may be ready for presentation to the thinking public when the peace truly comes? And yet this seems to have been written around 1945. Maybe it takes a while. A while to establish a true peace. There is much to be considered in this connection. There is the demonstration of the three aspects of the will as enumerated above. There is the preparation of the individual for the expression of this energy. And there is mature consideration to be given to the relation of the hierarchy to Shambhala, something we often forget, carried forward as the masters attempt to work out the divine purpose and to be the distributing agents of the will energy. I mean, the masters have much to learn themselves in the approach to the Shambhalic energy. So the three aspects of the will discussed above, enumerated above. All right, there was a little problem there with the network connection, but it appears now to have been reestablished. So, we are preparing the human being to express the Shambhala energy. We have to understand how the masters approach Shambhala. There is the effort to be made also to comprehend somewhat the nature of the direct impact of the first aspect upon the human consciousness apart from the hierarchical center altogether, an impact made without any of the absorbing stepping down process to which the hierarchy subjects it. And remember that this was written before the two Shambhalic impacts that we've just had occurred. So, written before the two Shambhala impacts of 1975 and 2000. So that is a bit like the impact of the triad monad via the antikarana upon the projecting soul-infused personality. It bypasses the soul, so to speak, and in this case it's hierarchy that is bypassed, so it's a more direct, unmediated, untransformed impact. Let's put that down. A direct, unmediated, untransformed impact. That is what is happening. So I have referred to this direct contact elsewhere. It can be more direct and complete when there is greater safety brought about by a more understanding human approach. So let's say with the absorption of a greater amount of second ray, the impacts can be less dangerous and more complete. And of course, the year 2000, in a way, numerologically, it is ruled by the number 2, and maybe, as DK said, there's a possibility that the Shambhala impact of 2000 could be less destructive than impacts prior to that time. We have yet to see whether that is the case. Some expect that after 14 years, roughly half a Saturn cycle, the impact will really hit ground, so to speak. The Shambhala impact of the year 2000 will show in its full manifestation, and then we can see what has been the result. We are in some very dire times at the moment, and a grand cross is expected in the year 2014 around the Waisak time, usually the time when Shambhala impacts are received, and a time perhaps when they can be understood. So that year 2014, that may show us whether there is less destruction involved, or whether there is the usual, which, it's unprecedented that there should be three Shambhala impacts within 175 years, given the fact that millions of years separated these impacts in the past, is unprecedented. So it must be that the intention of the Lord of the world is very focused, and the opportunity for the planet to take its initiation, and humanity likewise its first initiation, is the order of the day. And this probably in response to a solar-logoic minor initiation working out through our planet, perhaps a fourth initiation of a kind. Maybe crucifixion is the order of the day, not necessarily in the major cosmic sense, but in terms of a lesser series of initiations. Well, we need understanding and group approach. I think we must continue to and group approach. We cannot glibly talk about walking in the doors of Shambhala as some people do. Last time I was in Shambhala, I talked to X, Y, or Z, and they said, you know, it comes from a lack of proportion, a lack of sufficient familiarity with the teaching, and also from not believing the teacher. I mean, you know, if intuitively one does not believe what Master DK has said, what is to be done? One has somehow a greater faith in one's own limited mentality, and that that is not of value. Okay. Right. I may have had a little echo on another. Technology. But making it possible for us to be in contact in this way, where even a few years ago this was not possible. So we are deeply grateful for what the fifth ray has brought. One of the causes lying behind World War II is to be found in a premature contact, a contact made by certain selfish minds of a relatively high quality, aided by the Black Lodge. I guess we're thinking here of Hitler and his group, I suppose. And maybe earlier, who knows? Even in the time of Bismarck, he was said to be an avatar of cosmic evil. Maybe there was some kind of contact made then. So Hitler and his group. So interesting how many H's there were, as I said. You know, Heydrich, Himmler, Hitler, and all of the H's that in slavish adulation Goebbels used to name his children. The H is the 8, but it's the Christ, but it's also the inversion of the Christ. It has a lot to do with Pisces, if you look at it. It's like a combination of Gemini and Pisces, if you look at the letter 8. It can contact the Christ, but also it can set the other forces in motion. To offset this and eventually bring about the elimination of the influence of the dark forces from our planet must come the active, conscious use of the Shambhala Force by the White Lodge. So to offset this negative use, the men of will under Vulcan, under Uranus, Hitler had Uranus rising. He was a Taurus. Vulcan had to have been very strong. When you look at the way he spoke, you wonder how close Vulcan was to his son. Of course, who was speaking? There were these powerful, obsessing entities, so who was the real Hitler and who was the entity? You know, it's quite similar to the way, only in a, you know, greatly reversed and negative manner, in the way that the Lord Maitreya overshadowed the Master Jesus, and maybe the way Master Jesus overshadowed Apollonius of Tyana or took his vehicle, or the way the Buddha overshadowed the Prince Gautama, which I continue to advance as a theory because the logic of it seems inescapable, given the present level of ignorance, that is. Of course, when there's something more taught than or realized, then it may be seen to be otherwise. But one can only reason from where one is, at one's own present level of ignorance. What else can you do? You keep on using your mind the best you can and gather the intuition the best you can, and then will be proven correct or incorrect, either by the confirmation of the intuition or by knowledge shared from higher sources. So we must eliminate the dark forces from our planet, and that can come through the active, conscious use of the force of the White Lodge, aided by the men and women whose will to good is strong enough to safeguard them from personal peril in their work and from being deflected onto wrong and dangerous lines. Isn't that interesting? So let's see here. It's the will to good, which is the protection. And let's, I don't want green. How about that? Okay, that color, right. So the will to good serving as a protection against the wrong use of the will and Shambhala force. The will to good as a protection against the wrong use of the Shambhala force, its negative aspect. So the active conscious use of the Shambhala force by the White Lodge, and also the active conscious use of the Shambhala force, yeah, I'm going to do that. If you don't mind, I know. So it's Sham for Shambhala and an F. And we'll call it Shambhala Force. We'll do it that way. The active conscious use of the Shambhala Force by the New Group of World Servers. New Group of World Servers closely attuned to Taurus, and thus to Vulcan, and thus to Shambhala. They are the ones who are rebuilding the world under the constructive aspect. When you think about London, I serve. New Group of World Servers, Vulcan, Taurus. London would be a very important center for the inspiration of the New Group of World Servers. So this aid necessitates a certain definite and planned contact and interplay between the two centers, humanity and hierarchy. So what we're looking for is the active conscious use of the Shambhala force. That's what we are looking for, to offset the negative, powerful use, premature use of the Shambhala force by those who were inspired by the Black Lodge. So this aid necessitates a certain definite and planned contact and interplay between the two centers, humanity and hierarchy. A kind of infusion, it's kind of a, what can we call it, a planetary soul infusion, really is what it is. Okay, soul infusion, because the hierarchy acts as the soul of the planet. or the agent of the soul of the planet, and humanity either as the ajna or throat center, depending on the context. When this is better established, there can be organized and known cooperation, and the members of both great centers can stand together with masked intent. I do believe this will come about. Will come about when Vulcan is discovered. Vulcan connected with the heart of the sun, with the power of the soul to shape and bend, with the higher type of will from the purposeful head center coming down and affecting humanity. Vulcan will be important in this respect. And this masked intent will be the correspondence upon the mental plane of the masked intent of the general public, who stands with the power of appeal upon their lips and in their hearts. So two kinds of masked intent, one involving hierarchy. To this appeal must be added the focused will of the world thinkers and intuitives, who will use their minds and brains in the affirmation of right. He's so practical about what must be done. It's here that I sometimes suspect that one of the energies of the Tibetan's energy system is the energy of Taurus. It's a healing, illuminated energy. It acquires knowledge like no other sign does, and it knows how somehow to bring it through into manifestation on the physical plane. He said about the healers that they had a particular connection. That group of nine had a particular connection with the physical plane. The telepathists, maybe with the mental plane, and those who sought to destroy glamour, being the divine observers, had that connection with the sixth ray and with the astral plane. So somehow there's a very strong groundedness in our Tibetan teacher, I suspect. Anyway, this is, I'm hoping really that, okay, this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 142, A. And we are on page 588. And if my technology helps or cooperates, beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 142, B, page 588. All right.